Please be seated and let us turn in God's Word to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16, as we continue looking at 1 Kings, we look at a scattershot, honestly, of the kings of Israel. It's in historic order, so it's not really a scattershot, but it is the mess of Israel continuing downhill, and it continues downhill fast. And we have to understand that as we seek and follow after human leaders, we're just going to end up going downhill. We need to follow after Christ, the true King. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. 1 Kings 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin to provoke me to anger with their sins, surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah, his son, reigned in his place. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu to the son of Hanani against Baasha and his house because of all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha and did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned and by which they had made Israel sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now the people who were encamped heard it said, Now the people who were encamped heard it, said, "Zimri has conspired and also killed the king." So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died. Because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Gibnath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with his idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did, and the might which he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abraham, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look at the descent of Israel as they continue to have evil king after evil king. And Israel just falls apart, doesn't it? And we have to understand that. In fact, as we read toward the end of the chapter, we read about Ahab. And what did we read about Ahab? He did more to provoke God to anger than any of the kings which were before him in Israel. Now notice that the standard for how bad it was had been Jeroboam, Jeroboam, Jeroboam. And now after this, we would read that no longer is Jeroboam the standard, Ahab is and becomes the standard. And at the same time, we're somewhat refreshed because what goes on during the time of Ahab? Elijah. Elisha. And of course we have the coming of the gospel again to Israel. Now did Israel turn around, straighten out, fly right? No, it did not. Brothers and sisters, as we look in this world, we so often look to political leaders. Say, this guy's going to straighten it out. That guy's going to straighten it out. It's going to be better if. Brothers and sisters, what we need is the gospel. We need people to turn from their sins and turn to Christ. We cannot finally make laws that are going to make hearts honest to God. It's never going to happen. Certainly, we may be able to control outward behaviors. And quite honestly, sometimes we'll accept that. But what really needs to happen is the preaching of the gospel, the belief in the gospel, the love for one another that only comes because people are convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ and live in thanksgiving, as we heard in our catechism study, to him. If we can think that we can live however we want to, and by the way, there's very great danger of that in those who understand the doctrines of grace. Well, it doesn't matter how I live then. I can live however I want to because God will save me anyway. That's not the attitude of a Christian. And so we have to be careful that we are not pulled aside, running after and to these different places where people say, oh, it's going to be better over here, it's going to be better over there. Our final standard needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as people reject God, their lives become ruled by earthly power and by fear. That's the theme that we want to see as we look at God's Word this morning. As people reject God, their lives become ruled by earthly power and by fear. And that's, by the way, what we're seeing going on in our culture. We had this facade of Christianity, which meant that people were not running in fear. But as that facade cracks and crumbles around us, the fear is revealed. And we need to understand, where is our hope, even in hardship? That's why we need that comfort of the gospel, is in Jesus Christ. So as people reject God, their lives become ruled by earthly power and by fear. In verses 1 through 7, we see God's judgment on Baasha. Then, one after the other, we see Elah, Zimri, and Omri seize power in Israel. And then in verses 29 through 34, we see that Ahab sets a greater standard of evil for Israel's kings. The race to the bottom. And we have to understand that without God, that's where we're going, the race to the bottom. So as people reject God, their lives become ruled by earthly power and fear. Now we have Jehu receives the promise of God's judgment on Baasha, king of Israel. And notice that he has the same judgment as Jeroboam received, whom he replaced. God says, I lifted you out of the dust to be ruler of my people Israel. Yet you walked in the ways of Jeroboam. You provoke me and make my people provoke me to anger with their sins. And of course, the dogs, then, as we've heard with Jeroboam, will eat the descendants of Baasha who die in the city, and the birds of the air, those who die in the fields. The same judgment which Baasha had fulfilled. And by verse 5, we're already getting out of him the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, all his might. Are they not written in the chronicles of the kings of Israel? We don't have that book. What do we need to remember when we see those things? God knows our works. Even if no one else on this earth does, God does. And Baasha, is judged because he did evil in fulfilling God's judgment. Notice the epitaph there in verse 7. Also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu to the son of Hanani against Baasha, because and his house, because of the evil that he had done in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger by the works of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. And I want to just rest for a moment there on that fact. Even when God promises us blessing and power, doing evil in grasping and gaining that power will be judged by God. We do not do evil that good may come. We do not do the same actions as the world around us does in grasping power. We trust in God. We walk in His ways. Notice, because He killed them. Think of what David realized as he was being chased by Saul, and how many times God put Saul into his hands. And David said, what? I will not put my hand on the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to be the way he dies. But notice, that's not what goes on in this chapter, is it? Elah. Zimri conspires against Elah, the son of Baasha. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, notice this goes boom, 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 right during the rule of Asa, king of Judah. Zimri, commander of half of Elah's chariots, conspired against him while he was drinking himself drunk in the house of Arzah, steward of his house in Tirzah. What's this king doing? Getting drunk. Getting drunk is a bad way to deal with our troubles. In Christ, we can face them, even the worst of them. We read in Isaiah 5, verse 11, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them." Another passage in Isaiah says, "Woe to those who are mighty in drinking strong drink, and those who are valiant in mixing intoxicating drink." Getting drunk is not an answer. It only creates more problems. And so Zimri went in and struck him and killed him. And he established himself by evil. What did Zimri do? As soon as he was seated on his throne, verse 11, that he killed the household of Baasha, he did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. He killed everybody. And this is what we do as human beings. I'm going to establish myself by getting rid of all the competition. Sounds like somebody who raided Mar-a-Lago. Get rid of the competition. Yet this judgment was on Baasha's sins, but God is judge, not we are. And so, he was again seeking after his own power, his own rulership. Romans 12:19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." God is the one who brings vengeance, not us. And so, even when God says, "This is the blessing that I have laid in front of you," we do not grasp it by evil means. We trust that God will provide in His good time, in His provision. And we continue with Zimri, who was overthrown by Omri. The people hear, and they say, "We don't want this guy as king." They're encamped against Gibbethon, and so the people hear and say, "Zimri has conspired also and has killed the king." So Israel elects the king, Omri, which was the right way to become king. By the way, electing rulers is going all the way back to the Bible. David was not king of Israel until he was elected king of Israel. And Zimri lasted 7 days. And notice what it says. He was judged for the works that he had done in those 7 days. And he burned down his house upon himself. He committed suicide. Perhaps because of the danger that was going to happen and the evil things that the people might come up with against him. It's easier to die now. But if we're Christians, we always have hope in Christ. I don't care how bad the situation is. We do not need to kill ourselves. In fact, killing ourselves is still always murder. I'm sorry, doesn't mean you're going to hell, but it's certainly something that we need to consider, what God says, not what we think, not what human beings come up with. God is the Lord of the universe, and so we do not need to fear even the most dangerous situations. But of course, Zimri had committed treason. Zimri had done evil even in that 7 days. Of course, he had killed off the opponents. And we continue. Omri prevails to become king. Now there is another person, Timni, the son of Ginath, and half followed Omri. Now, we're not really given much information in light of the other situations of this passage. Notice what happened to Tibni. He died. It would not be surprising to me if he was murdered. We're not told that, so I'm speaking from silence. But it seems in character for this passage. What happens when we are not relying on God? We grasp power. We want to rule with the iron fist instead of ruling, trusting in the Lord God, the Lord of the universe. So Omri leads Israel even further away from God. He moved the capital of Israel again. It had been in Tibni. Now it's in Samaria. They built the Samaria. He bought this hill for 2 talents of silver. Not a terribly high price for a hill. And Omri did evil, verse 25, in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. He was worse than even all of those who had been in this chapter already told about. He have raced to the bottom, but we have not even reached bottom yet, because we have the opportunity to look at Ahab. But notice that God even gives Ahab the opportunity to repent, to turn away from his sins, and to believe God's word. God sends Elijah to him. God sends Elisha. The gospel is for every person. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins and you will be saved. And Ahab sets then in this chapter a greater standard of evil. And that's what we have at the end of this chapter. We have Ahab, who was the son of Omri. He didn't have to kill to become king. But read verse 31. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. A trivial thing. The things Jeroboam did weren't even considered. So let's read a few of those. He took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. He took as wife the daughter of a foreign king of Ethbaal. Notice the father's name holds in it the name of Baal, that wicked god. He went and served Baal and worshipped him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Now notice, the other kings had somewhat done lip service to serving God. Ahab didn't even start there. He started worshiping Baal. He built a temple for Baal. Then verse 33, Ahab made a wooden image. Of course, these were the perverted Asherah images that were going on. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Just jumping back briefly a hair there. And Jezebel was a great part of that, was she not, if you remember? Who we marry has an awful lot of effect on where we go forward in our lives. In his days, verse 34, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundations with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. This is directly in contradiction to God's command in Joshua 6:26. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with its firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." And I don't want to think too hard on this, but he received the penalty God had promised. So why would you do this? We have to understand that Jericho was the key defense city for the land of Canaan. That's why the people of Canaan were so shocked when the walls fell down. Because Jericho was the defense. And God required Israel not to rebuild Jericho because they had to trust him to take care of them, to defend them. And of course, as these people ran away from God, they lived in fear because they didn't know the God who's caring for the world, the God who's in control of all things. And so they didn't care what the penalty was. They were going to build Jericho. And we have to understand that as we look around us in this world. As people run away from God, they don't care what the penalty is. They want safety. They want protection. And brothers and sisters, the only hope which we have for safety is in Jesus Christ. The only hope for protection which we have. Think of the psalmist. God cares for us like that hen gathering its chicks under its wings. We have protection. We have safety in Jesus Christ. No matter what evil God sends upon us in this veil of tears, He will turn to our good. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing also, being a faithful Father. And so as we live in this world, we do not need to do evil that good may come. We do not need to live fearing, running, and hiding. Because the world is evil. Yeah, it is. We can accept that fact. But brothers and sisters, we can take confidence and hope in Jesus Christ. We do not need to fear. And so instead of living and being run by earthly power and by fear, we can be run in hope, in confidence eternally in Jesus Christ. That the God of the universe loves us, will bring us to the day of resurrection. So whether I live, whether I die, I'm bought and paid for by our Savior. And we don't need to fear, no matter what God sends upon us in this world, but rather we can have confidence that He does turn it to our good. Amen. Let us then bow our heads, our hearts, before God's throne of grace in our prayer of application, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for that confidence, for that comfort in a world which seems so topsy-turvy sometimes. We do not need to fear. Help us not to fear. Help us to trust in You. To live based on that comfort, on that confidence. Not based on our own emotions, what our eyes see, but what Your Word says to us. And we thank You for what Your Word says to us about our Savior. That He went to the cross and purchased for us eternal life. And that He has paid in full our debt. And so, Lord, help us to glorify You no matter what comes in this world. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.